desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. Thank the Lord this morning for a risen Savior. Very thankful that we have strength and power and grace is found because He did rise from the dead. Written on the board, Revelation of Jesus Christ. You will turn with me over to the book of Matthew in the 20th chapter. Begin reading with the 29th verse. Said they departed from Jericho, a great multitude following him, speaking about Christ. And it said, behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. When they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. You can just get a little picture in your mind of Jesus walking down the road, the dusty road, and I'm sure there was a large crowd that was following him. And there was, as when there's a large crowd, there's lots of talking and some noise going on. And there were two men that were blind. And obviously they couldn't see. Their eyes were dim. They could not see anything. It was darkness. When you're blind, it's dark. And people that have grown blind, I've heard them say that they just remember the colors. So when they hear about things, they're envisioning in their mind. But if you've been blind from birth, you can't even associate colors. They couldn't see and it was darkness, but they heard something. And they heard that Jesus, this man that we heard about, that he's been healing the blind. He's been making the lame to walk again. We've heard that this man, Jesus, was casting devils out. And they thought, maybe this man can do something for us. So when they heard that Jesus, they heard the multitudes gathering, they began to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on us. Lord, would you stop and would you do something for us? And it said that the multitude rebuked them. The crowd rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But it said they cried the more saying, have mercy on us. In other words, don't bother Jesus. He has more important things to do. Who do you think you are to stop Jesus when he's on his way somewhere and there's a lot of other things he could be doing right now? Just be quiet. Don't bother him. They didn't close their mouth, but they cried out the louder asking for Jesus. And it said that Jesus stood still. He stopped what he was doing. You know, there's relevance for that today in our lives. There is nothing more important to the Lord than what's going on in your life this morning. We may look and say, well, surely that there's plenty of things that the Lord could be doing. Folks, Jesus has a vested interest in your life this morning because he died for you. And he died for me, and he is interested in the smallest things that touch our life. And so Jesus stopped, and he asked him a question. He said, what shall I do unto you? What do you want me to do for you? And they told him. They said, Lord, that our eyes be open. Lord, we want to see. We want to have vision. And it said Jesus had compassion on them. You know, this morning the Lord is moved with compassion on each and every one of us in our struggles and battles. And you know, we all have them. We all have things in life. We all come to areas in life that, some of you young people have faced them, some of you haven't. But all of us are going to come to places in life that we say, I need something divine. I can't go on. I need God to move some mountains. And I need the Lord to exalt some valleys. I need the Lord to open up my eyes because I don't have the strength to go on. The Lord was moved with compassion. Folks, it is the enemy's job that he's about trying to make people think that God doesn't care about you. Who do you think you are? Well, I can tell you who I am. I am nothing, but I know who my Savior is this morning. And I know that he's everything. And I know that he cares about the smallest details of life. And so Jesus had compassion and he touched their eyes. He reached out and he touched the area of their infirmity. And it said immediately their eyes received sight. And you know what they did? It said they followed him. You know what our world needs today? more than anything else is to have their blinded eyes open. Because do you know what those blinded men, you know what the thing they probably first saw when they opened their eyes? Because Jesus reached out and he touched them. And immediately they were able to open up and they had vision. You know what they saw? They saw Jesus. They saw his hand. They saw the hand of Jesus Christ stretched out, touching them, and they followed him. This morning, there are times even after we've been saved that sometimes we start to lose our vision. We start to lose perspective sometimes about what this is all about. And sometimes the difficulties of life can start to weigh in. But you know, this morning, if we will stop and cry out to the Lord, he'll reach out and open up our eyes. And our world today is lit. The world is so dark. The world is so sinful. And sometimes we look at people and we wonder, where is the hope for them? We see how far they are from God. But folks, nothing is impossible to God this morning. What they need is to have their eyes opened up, and there is no possible way for it to happen except for Jesus Christ. And it does not matter how deep in sin people are in. It doesn't matter how tangled up their lives are. When they call out to Jesus, the Son of God will reach out and he'll touch them and they'll receive their sight. Isn't that wonderful this morning that Jesus still has the ability to lift up those that are just wrecked with sin and in bondage and empowered by it? The difference is going to be Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is still and will continue to make a difference in those that will be willing to just say, Lord, would you have mercy? I don't have all the answers. Lord, I don't know how to tell you to fix my eyes. There are times we pray, I don't even know what to ask the Lord to do. But it's, Lord, you know the need. I don't know how the Lord to tell him to do it because I have no idea. But I know this, as another blind man said that Jesus healed. He said, I don't know all about this man or who he is, but I know this, I was blind and now I see. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how the Lord saved me. I have no idea how the blood that was shed on the cross 2,000 years ago reached down and turned my life around. I don't understand it, but I know it happened because I saw. I experienced the result of it. Oh, that men's eyes would be open. You know, the disciples that followed Jesus, they had physically seen the lame being able to walk again after Jesus touched him. They had seen devils cast out. The man in the tomb, legion, that was full of devils. They saw that man crazy, and then they saw him in his right mind. They had seen it with their own eyes. They had seen the dead raised to life because of the touch of Jesus Christ. They had seen it. I wonder this morning what it is you see. How do you see Jesus? How do you see Jesus when you begin to think about the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you see this morning? How do you see him? There were those that saw Jesus as a troublemaker when he walked this earth. The Pharisees and the scribes, they saw him as a rabble-rouser. They saw Jesus as someone that was just stirring up trouble because he wouldn't kowtow to their system of religion. There are those that saw him just as the carpenter's son. Who does he think he is? That's the son of Mary and Joseph. That's just the carpenter's son. And when they saw him that way, it said Jesus was not able to do, not many mighty works because of their unbelief. Because they were limited in their revelation. They were limited in their vision, and they saw Jesus as just another man. There were some, and still today, there are some that see Jesus as a prophet. Someone that taught brought some words of God that was inspired by God to teach people. But they don't see him as the Son of God. They see him as a prophet. There are others that saw Jesus as a man being rejected by his family. There are some that saw the disciples deny the Lord. Peter denied him verbally, but the others were following far enough away that they would not be associated with him. And some people saw that Jesus. They saw the Jesus that was despised. They saw the Jesus that was rejected. They saw the Jesus that was beaten. And many of them probably thought, as it says in the scripture, if this was really the Son of God, he could deliver himself. And so I see this man that's being beaten. And there were those that physically saw Jesus hanging on the cross. And they saw the blood running down his face from the thorns on his head. They saw the misery and the pain of Christ. The disciples saw something before Calvary, didn't they? Do you know the disciples saw Jesus in agony in the garden, praying, "Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me"? They saw that side of Jesus. And then going back to the cross, there were those that saw Jesus say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you turned your head away?" And we know the reason that God turned his head away was not because of sin. It was because he loved his Son so much that as long as you keep looking at someone suffering, you want to reach out and deliver them. And God knew that Jesus needed to stay on the cross for our salvation. And I believe he had to turn his head away lest he bring deliverance from the cross. Some this morning see Jesus as someone that requires things in life that are just too hard to live. If you follow Jesus, it makes life miserable. That's how some people see Jesus this morning. Over in the book of John, in the 20th chapter, in the 11th verse, we find the last view that some had of Jesus was being taken down off the cross and his body wrapped up and laid in the tomb, and the stone rolled across the tomb. And that was what they had seen, and that was their last memory. You know, that's why when you go to a funeral, sometimes it's often in our funeral services, the casket is opened up, and you walk by, and you look down, and you get one last look of the person that is dead. It's to try to help people remember. Remember what they look like, because you're never going to see this person again. So you walk by and you look down. Do you remember some, those of you that you've loved that have gone out into eternity and that you have died? You remember the last look? And sometimes I see people in their grief and in their love reach down to that dead body and take the hand and maybe even kiss the cheek because they know this is the last time, separated by death, never going to see them again in this life. There was a woman by the name of Mary that her last view of Christ was being put into a tomb, his body wrapped up and laid to rest, and the stone rolled across it. And we find in the 20th chapter, Mary had come. In the 11th verse, Mary came to the sepulcher, and she was there to grieve because she was remembering. She was remembering Christ. And it said in the 11th verse, she stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. The stone had been rolled away. She saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she said, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." She had come to mourn the passing of Christ. You realize this morning that the disciples and Mary and others, that when Jesus died, they lost their hope. Their hopes were in a Messiah that would bring deliverance to them. Their hopes were in something that had not yet happened. And when Jesus died, they lost their hope. And so now we read, and I know Zachary asked me last night or yesterday, he said, Dad, he said, are you preaching on the two men on the road to Emmaus? So how can I get by this day without at least mentioning it? But there were those two men that were walking away from Jerusalem because they lost their hope. And you come back next Easter, maybe you'll hear more about that. I don't know. But they had lost their hope. They lost their hope, and so they walked away. And Jesus came, and He walked with them. But people, when they lose their vision, and they cannot see Jesus, the natural response is to go and walk away. Mary had come to mourn, and the angels asked, why are you weeping? And Jesus, in verse 16, said unto her, Mary, and she turned and said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She had come to weep because Jesus was no more, and she found a resurrected Lord. Her last vision, her last revelation, if you will, her last memories of Jesus Christ were no longer the Jesus that was on the cross suffering. Her last memories of Jesus were no longer the Jesus that His disciples turned away from. Her vision of Jesus was no longer the Savior as you walk by for us today, the casket, and look in the tomb of the one that you love, knowing that when the casket's closed, you'll never see Him again. That was not her last vision of Jesus. She saw Jesus alive because Jesus did not stay in the tomb. He rose from the dead, saints, this morning. Jesus rose from the dead, and she was able to live the rest of her life knowing that Jesus is alive. And that is what we remember this morning. It's what we celebrate. It's what we give God praise for, that Jesus is alive. And if you have not seen Jesus as a Savior that's alive today, the Lord wants to reach out and He wants to touch your eyes. He wants you to have hope. He wants you to have courage for tomorrow. He wants you to know that your lost loved ones, that all is not lost because Jesus is alive. And if they will call out to the Lord one day, they too are going to receive their sight of a resurrected Lord. So how do you see Him this morning? How do you see Jesus? Do you see Him as alive? Oh, we want to remember Jesus for who He is in reality. Jesus came and He died on the cross. You can read over in 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter. But it said here that in the 5th verse that He was seen. This is after He died and rose again. He was seen of about 500 brethren at once. Jesus was not just seen by Mary. He was seen of over about 500 people. Talk about the power of eyewitness. This isn't just a couple of the disciples hatching up a plan somewhere to try to tell people that Jesus rose from the dead. They didn't even understand that He was gonna rise from the dead until He did it. He was seen of over 500 people. There is more this morning than to us just seeing Christ in the flesh. Was it Brianna's verse this morning? Was it about Thomas? Thomas one has said, I'm not going to believe unless I see. But Jesus said, you have seen, but blessed are you that believe that have not seen. How can we believe in Christ this morning? How can we believe? It's because we've seen Him in spirit. We've seen what He does. We've seen that His power is not diminished. Folks, the Lord has lost none of His power. If anything, we no longer see a Christ that's rejected of men in the flesh. We no longer see a Christ hanging on a cross. We no longer see a Christ with blood running down His face. We see a risen Lord who is King of kings and Lord of lords. And Jesus Himself said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given. I would that we have that revelation this morning of the Lord Jesus. Just like John on the Isle of Patmos. Remember last week we talked about that John was banished. He was cast out. He was banished to this rocky, desolate island. And do you know the Lord revealed himself to John? If you will turn with me to the book of Revelation in the first chapter, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord revealed himself to John. It said, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, those that crucified him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Folks, John began to recognize that Jesus was going to come back. When Jesus lifted up from the earth, remember the angel said, asked the disciples, they said, "Men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing?" You know, up to the heavens. And it was because that's going to be our last sight of him. We want to get the last glimpse. But the angel told them, said, "In like manner, he's going to return." And John was reminding us, and I would remind us this morning, as Jesus rose from the dead and he is alive, he is going to come back again. He's going to come back. And it said he's going to come and every eye shall see him. Folks, there are those that deny the living Christ. There are those that deny that he rose from the dead. There are those that deny God himself. But there is coming a day that every eye is going to see Jesus Christ. All of those that have denied him, all of the atheists, all of the Muslims, all of those, the agnostics, every eye is going to see Jesus Christ when he comes back. And they are going, it said, what they do. They're going to wail. Because they're going to know that you had opportunity to follow Christ and you denied him. And now it's a time of judgment. All of them are going to believe. Do you know everybody that has died, that has denied Christ, is a believer this morning? They believe. How much better today to ask the Lord to give us a personal revelation of Jesus Christ, that we would follow him acceptably. Because without holiness, the scripture says, no man shall see the Lord. If we want to see the Lord this morning in his glory in heaven, we're going to have to follow him in holiness and in righteousness. But we're all going to see him at the judgment. He went on to say, let me just, over in Philippians, you know, it said at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven and in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ, the Lord, is the glory of the Father. Every name, everybody is going to acknowledge Christ and confess his name as the Son of God. How much better this morning to celebrate and live life giving him credit and acknowledging the glory of the Savior this morning. He's alive. He's risen. And I thank God that my vision and my memories of Christ are not looking into a casket. We don't just have to read about what was, but we can experience the reality of a living Lord this morning. And how much better to live it with joy today than to wait and wail at the sight of Christ. Jesus appeared to John and he said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Folks, what a wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord himself was reminding John, "I am Alpha and Omega." Folks, Jesus was from the beginning of the creation of the world. He was there. He was part of it. And Jesus was reminding John about who he was. "I am the beginning and the end." He said, "I am what was, and I am what is, and what is to come. I am the Almighty." Folks, we live in a world that people are turning to so many things to find the answers to their problem. The answers to our problems today, the answer is Jesus Christ. He is the Almighty. Our understanding is finite this morning. We're limited in what we can do, but there is a risen Savior that is able to do all things. He's worthy of putting our faith in today. And then we read on in this passage, he said in the 10th verse, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." And here it is again, "I am Alpha and Omega." This was the risen Savior that had appeared to John, And this was the same thing he just finished saying. He said it again. So at the expense of repetition this morning, Jesus himself said it over and over. I am Alpha and Omega. Folks, we would be wise this morning to seek for a revelation of who Jesus is, that we would personally know he is Alpha and Omega. He said the first and the last. That was drawn out of the book of Isaiah. I am the first and the last, and beside me there is no God. We can worship the things of this world. We can follow the philosophies of life and the ideologies. We can follow after those things. But folks, this started with God. And do you know where things are going to end up? They're going to end up with God. I'm Alpha and Omega. And beside me, there is no God. And it is all power and all dominion was given to Jesus Christ. In the 12th verse, he said, I turned to see the voice that spake to me. John was there, and he turned around to see the voice. He wanted to see who this was. And he said, I saw the seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like as the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they turned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That was the word of God. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He had a revelation of Jesus Christ. This glorious person clothed in white. The Ancient of Days. He's been here from the beginning. And John fell over as if dead because he had seen the Lord. I want you to listen to what Jesus did. He said, he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. Don't be afraid, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You know this morning that we do not need to be afraid to see Jesus. In so many other passages, we read about the prophets and those that fell down before angels to worship. And the angel said, oh, don't worship me. Get up. Get up. But here, the Lord allowed him to worship. But he reached out his hand and touched him. He said, don't be afraid. Folks, this morning, let's not be afraid of the risen Lord. Let's not be afraid. He is worthy to follow after. The Lord is not going to require something of you that's too hard. He's not going to require something of us that we're incapable of doing. He said, don't be afraid. He said, I'm the first and the last. And he said, I have the keys of hell and death. I have the keys of the grave and of death. Folks, Christ is our victory over death this morning. And that's why when we lose those that have loved the Lord and have been faithful to the Lord, we don't weep as others weep. Yes, we shed tears. Do you know Jesus? Or do you know that John had a vision of the tear-streaked cheeks of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane? But we don't see those tears here. We see someone that was raised in power and in glory. Folks, Christ is still in heaven. He's reigning as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he has the keys in his hand. So I would ask you this morning, what are your problems? What are the things in life that just seem impossible? I want you to remember that Christ holds the key this morning. And he has the key to death. He has the key to life this morning. He has the key to victory. The scripture says, looking unto Jesus, who is what? The author is the beginning. And the finisher, it's the end. Folks, this is what serving the Lord is all about. It's not about these four walls. It's way beyond a name that we have on the church sign. It's way beyond our family histories. This is about a Savior that rose from the dead that we might have life. And he said, looking unto Jesus, we need to have our blinded eyes open and have revelation of who he is. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set where? At the right hand of the throne of God. And I want to stop there. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. This morning, lest you be faint and weary with the things of life. Lest you be faint and weary in your minds, look up this morning. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we won't take the time to read it this morning, but over in the book of, in the 19th chapter of Revelation, we have another picture of Jesus Christ who is going forth on a white horse, going forth conquering and to conquer. And it was written on his vesture, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Folks, that's who we remember this morning. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, he died on the cross, and there's a place to remember that, but it only has power. The power of the cross only rests in the power of the resurrection. Because if Jesus had not risen from the dead, there would be no power in the blood of Jesus. But because he rose from the dead, he is no longer suffering. He's no longer having men ride over his heads. In heaven, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I freely proclaim him as my King this morning. I serve a risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior. This morning, as we conclude this service, how do you see Jesus? Don't be afraid to call out to the Lord and ask him to just reach out. Lord, I need you to touch me. I want to really see. I don't want to just see religion. I don't want to see serving the Lord as just trying to fit in to these people that are a little different than the rest of the world is. But Lord, I want to see you. Because folks, it's the only thing that's going to carry us through as our world gets worse and worse. We need to have revelation of Jesus and who he is. He is King. He's Lord of Lords, and he has all power and dominion. And so we can, with assurance this morning, come boldly to the throne of grace that we can find a place of mercy and find help in time of need. Let's be encouraged as we leave here and face life. Because you know what? We're going to go home today. We're going to have a big meal, have another service afterward, and we're going to go home, and we're going to face the same life that we left. You're going to go back to the same job. You're going to go back to the same people. You're going to have the same personal struggles. But remember this, if you have a revelation, a personal revelation of Jesus Christ, it will give you the strength that you need to live a godly and a righteous and holy life. And in the darkness of the world, it is the light that will illuminate your path that if you will follow, one day we shall again with these eyes see him come in the clouds. And I don't want to be in the group that's wailing. I want to be in the group with John that said, oh, even so, come Lord Jesus, because I, mine eyes have seen the Lord. Think about that verse that said, mine eyes have seen. The song that was written after it, mine eyes have seen what? The glory of the coming of the Lord. And that's what John had, a revelation of that Lord that was lifted up and was going to come back. I thank God for a glorious revelation of Jesus Christ.